Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who's fucked Armando's mum. It's Richard Herring! So inappropriate, I thought. Just in the moment, it felt like the right thing to say, but he's in the audience and, you know, very incredibly disrespectful. So welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. But I was talking to Kingsley, the Partick Thistle mascot designed by David Shrigley, which, remember, it looks like the offspring of Bert from Bert and Ernie and the son from the Teletubbies. That's what it's... And, you know, it looks quite angry because, you know, that's not right, is it? You can't have sex with a baby son. That is wrong. Anyway, do you remember that? Remember Kingsley, the mascot from Partick Thistle? Look it up. He's cool, that's what I'm saying. He calls it Rahalastapas, so that's what's gonna catch on. There, so this weekend I went to London Zoo, and then after London Zoo, it was good. Do go. Afterwards we went up to Primrose Hill, which is very nice, and we looked at the house where Paddington lives in Paddington 1 and Paddington 2. It's in Primrose Hill if you want to go and see it. I told my daughter people lived there. She went, oh, God, they better not use their toothbrushes if they live there, because it was nice. She believes it. She believes the story. And my wife said, should we take a picture of the kids in front of Paddington's house? I went, no, don't be a tourist. We can't do that. That'd be awful for them. And then we were next to Alan Bennett's house, and I said, oh, get a picture of me outside. She nearly did. But I think he often... I know where Alan Bennett lives. It's near where Paddington lives. Maybe we should cut it out. We don't want people know where Paddington lives. Would you like to live in Paddington's house? It must be annoying, right? Andy McCaich, or would you like the attention? You'd go for it. Yeah, I mean, it's a fucking nice house, to be fair. I'd like to live in Paddington's house so I could sell it and, you know,
have £10 million. But anyway, enough about me. I have to thank some people for... let's just check I get the right one. Yeah, got some people for being Kickstarter. I don't know, you know, I'll just say whatever's on the card, all right? And I don't know if I'm being, you know, forced. I'm being said something here that might get me cancelled if I do. This one is from It's All Oriental. Don't like the sound of that. Hold up, Chris Burley is a complete twat and I wouldn't trust him to build a sandcastle. So that's... I don't know who gave that in. I don't know what it is. Maybe a code to start World War III. I do not know. And also Scott Pezza doesn't want anything said other than his or her or their name. So that's very good. Right. Should we just crack on? We could just crack on, couldn't we? No one likes this bit. just to get everyone sat down and facing the right direction before we've... You can always fast forward, you know. No, I mean, you can't. You've got to sit here and enjoy it. Okay, we love it, Richard. We love you. You're great. Okay, thanks. You're my hero. Thank you. That's okay. My guest this week is probably best known for her role as kissing couple / woman. I'm assuming she's a woman in a kissing couple, but maybe she played both of those roles in Stakeout. Not that one. Please welcome Rosie Holt, ladies and gentlemen. Incredible Rosie Holt. It's Rosie Holt. Welcome. Come in. Sit down. Make yourself at home. How are you?
Great.
Good. What can you tell me about playing... Were you a woman in a kissing couple?
Yes.
In Stakeout?
Yes. I'd completely forgotten that.
Had
when
you?
When I was backstage. It was with Imogen Stubbs.
Wow.
Yeah. She wasn't part of the kissing couple. And I just had to kiss this man in the dark. Okay. It was really grim, and I don't think I got paid very much. I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it definitely a film?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. That's, you know, but that's acting, isn't it? That's acting.
Yeah.
I had to lick Russell Tovey's neck.
Why?
Don't know. That's the director told me to do it, so I did it. Russell said it was okay.
Okay, great. It's consensual licking.
He actually said I could lick anything I wanted. He smells very nice. Have you ever worked with Russell Tovey?
No, but he does look like a man who smells delicious.
Lovely. And that, even, you know, licking aftershave isn't the best thing, but it tasted nice. Yeah. Be out soon, that film, if you want to see it. I know, you'll be there, you'll be watching it. I've got my top off. Nearly all the way through the thing. Acting's a stupid job, isn't it?
It is a really stupid job.
You started as an actor.
Yes.
So what prompted the move into... Because then you did a lot of theatre.
Yeah.
And you still do theatre.
Yes.
But what prompted you to give comedy?
I was not being very successful at theatre.
Okay.
So, I think also it's just sort of... you know, a lot of acting is sort of sitting waiting for the phone to ring. Yeah. And the great thing about comedy is you can come up with something and then you can literally find a pub and do it that evening. So it scratches that sort of creative itch, which was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was your... Because I've seen... The nice thing about a lot of newer acts is that pretty much everything they've ever done is online. So
yeah.
You can watch the genesis of your more famous character, which is... Are you just... called The Woman, is that the character's name, or does she have a
no,
name?
No, she well, it's sort of two characters that are very similar.
Okay.
One is The Woman, and one is an MP.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the early stuff, you sort of seem to... I've heard you say you had a ukulele in your early acts, and I've seen a ukulele song. That's
I did
your
Dirty
YouTube
Songs
page.
On a ukulele, which I think is always a good place to start.
Yeah. So was that your original act?
It started that way, and then it kind of morphed into... everyone in the comedy world are very rude about ukulele players.
Yeah.
It's sort of the dirt of the comedy world, isn't it?
I mean, yeah.
Right,
I mean, not as bad as prop comedians, though. At least it's a skill.
It's not much of a skill, though.
It's a skill.
Yeah. But no, I started with the ukulele and then I evolved
okay.
with to no ukulele.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The ukulele songs are good. I mean, they are quite rude songs.
Yeah, they are rude songs.
Yeah, that's what we're fine with it.
Parents were so sad.
And it's nice for you to leave them up so we can still see them.
Oh, no, I forgot.
You could take them down. I wanted to ask you, are you ever confused with Rosie Holt, the New Zealand-based florist famous for her business, which is called Rose Tinted Flowers? You ever...
No.
And you're not, because I thought that was who I booked.
There is a Rosie Holt who people often tag in, and she's now locked her account.
Oh, really?
Which is awful. She's never acknowledged it as well. She just locked her account.
I wouldn't have thought it was that common a name. If you were to open a florist business...
Yes.
What name would you go? Because I think, I mean, it's Rose Tinted Flowers. I don't think... No offence to Rosie Holt, but she's using a pun on Rose there, I think. She's saying rose tinted flower. It makes me think she's done something to the flowers, right? Would you cut? Because I just think, Holt, I've got some flowers for you. That would be a better
that's
name,
great.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What would you, have you got any?
Or even, could it just be a slight amendment, like rosy tinted flowers?
Rosy, it would be better.
Yeah.
Rosy, I haven't done anything to the flowers. I know it sounds like I have. She's done very well.
Good for her.
I mean, all the questions I've got are for her. What is your biggest challenge as a florist so far, would you say?
Just making sure they don't die.
Yeah, it's hard. Well, yeah. You've killed them, so they are going to die.
Yeah, and then they just sort of stand in your house like corpses, horrible reminders of what you've failed to do.
It's a weird thing, isn't it, the way we bring... plants and Christmas trees, I always think, is a very strange tradition, which I can't believe it carries on in this ecologically, you know, mindful world.
Yeah.
You chop down a tree and put it in your house. But all flowers are the same, aren't they, really?
Yeah, it's true. We just watch their dead remains.
Yeah. God, it's turned dark very quickly.
Well, it's okay, though. If you know, any dead remains, if you cover them in tinsel, it's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think any dead remains.
Yeah, any dead remains. Yeah.
It would at least give the police something to laugh about, wouldn't it? If you've killed your husband, you come back, he's got baubles all over him.
And then it's like a little plus, isn't it? It's like, oh, I may have caused some misery in the world, but I made that policeman laugh.
So the evolution of all this, you did some Edinburgh shows,
yeah,
with Christian Talbot,
yes,
yeah, and he's a good comedian,
yeah.
You still on good terms with him?
No.
Okay. Is he jealous of your success? I love it when a double act goes wrong, but all of mine have. So it's fine. It's all. And then you did your own show in Edinburgh,
yes,
yeah,
and then I did I did a parody show called The Crown Jewel, which was like a parody of Netflix The Crown, but it was just two of us playing all the roles. That was fun.
And that was coming into lockdown, right there, so you were doing that.
We were about to go to America on a 6-month tour, and then the coronavirus descended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was in a way, I mean, it stopped that job, but in a way was the coronavirus what sort of has led to this?
Yeah, so thank you, coronavirus. Yeah, no, it was weird because I think I wasn't doing anything. So you start, and also I wasn't acting. So you kind of think, oh, how can I do this and just do something so I'm not going bored? And then you put things onto the internet and they grow.
Yeah. What was the first thing that sort of made you think, oh, there's something happening? Was it the...
It was during the Black Lives Matter protests.
Yeah.
And Sadiq Khan had posted a tweet saying that he was having a statue of, I think it was Robert Milligan, removed in London because he said because of his links to slavery. And there were all these really angry responses from people saying, you're taking away our history and this is democracy has failed. And it was so extreme, but also very funny. And so I put up a video of a woman who was saying that, who was basically following through on all those arguments. So she was saying, you know, they're erasing history just like Stalin did, you know, who incidentally I have a statue of in my garden. And it blew up because when I started doing that, I had sort of 3,000 followers on Twitter, and then suddenly had all these really angry messages saying, you shouldn't have a statue of Stalin in your garden, it's disgusting.
I mean, a lot of the pleasure of your stuff is that about 50% of people seem to think it's all real, right?
Yeah,
it's is that how much of the enjoyment is down? Is that, it's sort of bizarre how, I mean, it does show, again, what we were talking about last week, how insane sort of facts the truth and lies has become, and how difficult it is to parody people on the internet because...
Yeah. Well, it is, and it's just... But I think also people, like... there's just a lot of rage. Mm. I mean, because I've had tweets of a few reproachful people saying you shouldn't trick people, you shouldn't trick us. And, but, you know, I'm not trying to. I did a video. There was an anti-masker, anti-vaxxer, and she put up a video, and she said it was my first time going to the shop without a mask, and she said, and I went there and everyone was looking at me and I felt so threatened and sad, and anyway, I'm going to, you know, Tesco's this afternoon. And so I did a video parodying that where I said I went into a supermarket and, you know, everyone was chanting, burn the witch, and someone came up to me and threw a bell over my neck and presumably to warn the people in the frozen food aisle I was coming. And people were going, they should have thrown a bell round your neck and how dare you? And I, you know, I'm glad they shouted burn the witch. And I was thinking, why have you... Obviously, this isn't real.
Yeah. But it is, you know, pretty much every tweet you tweet, someone will take it seriously, whatever you put. I mean, and you'd think, like, being a comedian, if it says comedian in your bio, you think that would be, like, a clue that maybe not everything's going to be serious. But, yeah, so it's... But and I guess the MP character by combining the actual footage of, you know, interviewers asking questions that you then pretend you're answering.
Yeah,
I suppose that.
I guess as well. I mean, to be fair on everyone, I mean our MPs are so ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it is. I mean, I remember once when I did a sketch of the MP, and there were lots of people saying, getting angry at me, and then putting up Michael Fabricant and saying, "This guy's a good comedy act." So it's, you know, just go, well, if he, you know, he's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Of course, I look more real than he does.
Yeah. What is
and his hair?
It's unbelievable. We have talked about him before on the podcast, but yeah, he's lying to us with his actual hair.
Yes.
And thinks. Thinks we're going to believe anything. Does he think we can't say? So he looks more like, you're absolutely right. The number of YouTube and Twitter people whose that's basically their act is to put on a funny wig and do a mild character. You can't really compete with it. But you have, you know, you also fooled like Philip Pullman, the author, intellectual author. So it's not, you know, it's not just you know, stupid people who are falling for it. It's falling, clever people are falling for it too.
Yeah.
And how does that feel when, I mean, do you feel good about the fact that it must be fun, right? That people, or not?
It's a bit sort of like, oh no. I think because AC Grayling as well sort of tweeted that I was a bull-faced, I can't even remember what it was.
Right.
Emetic, some word I can't pronounce. And I was like, So it's sort of, it's fun, but it's also a bit unnerving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's people on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, it is this sort of compunction to just be, I mean, you know, the character is stupid.
Yeah.
But not much. And is, I mean, that is the problem. It's not much more stupid. Not much more stupid.
No,
than
and I think she's more just she's just saying what she thinks she should say. She's not really stopping to think about what she's actually saying. She's just following the party line, which is all right, isn't it? It's all right to do that.
Are you just, you know, did you think I've got it and this is going to be these things are going to be it, or was it just a slowly growing realization that you were. As you know, as you're working your way through this, and you know, because it's a new medium, and I'm very excited by the number of people, especially in lockdown, that have, you know, over the last few years, who've created something online that has broken through in this way and led on to other stuff. But you know, were you thinking, I've got it, and this is going to be the next step, or is it just let's try this and see what happens? Or do you?
Well, to begin with, it was very much let's try this and see what happens. I wasn't expecting it to go where it did.
Yeah.
And then you just go with it, don't you?
Yeah.
You think, oh, I better learn about politics now.
And what, you know, the people, the presenters who end up in the sketches unwittingly, have you had any feedback from that? Are they happy or are they...
No.
Because, it is, the one with the guy from...
Talk Radio. Yeah. He got very angry with me.
Yeah, I bet he did.
He said I was... he said he kind of, said I was stupid and not funny and badly edited. And then a day later he was like, do you want to come on the show and talk about your sketch? A lot of us laughed, including myself.
I mean, it's sort of good in a... I mean, I suppose especially the morning, the Susanna Reid and stuff, I'm sure she wouldn't mind too much about it.
Yeah, well, I got a nice one from Naga from the BBC, and she just said, yay.
Is there any copyright issues that they can come and get you for, though? You're stealing other people's work.
I hope that they don't think of it.
I mean, you're not making any money out of it directly.
No money at all. It's funny.
But that's, it's sort of just that technical ability to do that. I know everyone sort of, lots of people have those sort of things, but that kind of impresses me that you're able to even just put that together and make that work as, the technical thing of acting against it as well, because presumably are you playing it as you do it, or are you remembering?
I'm remembering my lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you've got to time it. You've got to time it.
Yeah, you've got to time it. And sometimes I've got lots of footage of me just going. That I have to sort of work through. That's nodding for the audio.
Yeah.
Audio.
No, yeah. Don't worry about those audio idiots. They don't deserve to know what's going on. Oh, I don't know. And what has it led to? I mean, is the stuff you can talk about? Is it? Well,
it has led to things, but I don't think I can talk about them, just because also they might not happen. And then it would be horrible. This would be like a horrible relic of what was that never happened. I'm taking a show to Edinburgh.
Great.
Which I'm really looking forward to doing. I'm looking forward to getting on the stage again. So that is one thing I can say, because it's definitely happening.
Yeah. You're going to do... Because that's... Are you going to try and do the characters on stage?
Yes.
Is that... Have you thought about how...
How it will work? No, I just...
No, but you might be working on it. Have you got ideas for how...
Yeah, I do have a few ideas.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to work?
No.
Okay.
it will work.
No, that'll be... I'm sure that will be... Yeah. That's going to be a hit at the fringe, right?
I hope so.
Yeah,
that would be
definitely
nice.
Will be. Well, it's going to be quite an what do you think? You've obviously done Edinburgh before.
Yes.
But I feel this one, was the last one you did be pre-lockdown? You didn't go up?
No, I didn't go. Yes, so the last one I did was, pre-lockdown. Yeah. I don't know what it's going to be like this year.
It's going to be I think
there's going to be a lot of people and everyone's going to be very, frenzied and weird.
Well, that's always the case. I wonder if it might be, a kind of... Because it's been 2 or 3 years, hasn't it?
So. Yeah.
It might be kind of quite a celebratory atmosphere.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Comedians are horrible. You should just stay being an actor. Now you've got into this world.
Yeah, I could be still doing Kissing Couple number 3.
You could be. Yeah. It would be fantastic. Now, the thing I wanted to talk to you about was your experience. I don't know how true this was, because it's in something like the Daily Express or something. Your experience with the Hinge dating app. Are you happy to talk about
this? We can talk about that.
Okay. I think I'd let you tell the story.
So I was on Hinge.
Yeah.
And for those who aren't on Hinge, it'll send you notifications on your phone. It'll go, we've got a perfect match for you. And they recommend it. And they said, oh, we've got a perfect match for you for Charlie. And I clicked on the profile and it was my brother. It's a very sad moment. He's in tonight.
I mean, don't you have to give it a go if the computer, the algorithm is set?
Well, you think, Hinge doesn't lie. No, we've got a lot in common.
Yeah. You'd think it might. I suppose you can't really...
Got the same surname.
Yeah. That might be a warning light that should flash somewhere.
But we're going strong, so...
Okay.
it's good.
Oh, dear. I mean, I dated before all the apps. I've never heard of Hinge before, I have to say.
Yeah.
So is that more of a, is that a, is that is that a So obviously,
is that a modern
is it more
thing?
Of a sort of serious one where you're trying to find a life partner?
I don't know. I hate them. I've gone off them because I tend to. I don't like the whole thing of them because you I can't tell whether I fancy someone from a photo, and then you have this sort of weird.
I can. Yeah, go on.
I can't. Well, then you. You have this sort of weird conversation and you're not invested in it and it's all lame. And then, I hate it. And then I end up ghosting people just because I don't know who you are.
Yeah. I just think it's too easy. It annoys me as someone who sort of basically stopped dating when dating apps were just about to start coming out.
Yeah.
It just annoys me how easy it is. If I'd had those in the 1990s, I wouldn't have, you know, at least I wouldn't have been sat in my flat on my own every weekend crying, playing Civilization 2. It was good. It was good times. But, you know, it would have been nice to have some human company.
Yeah, and you could have, if you were on dating app, you could have written that in your bio.
Yeah, I love Civilization. Come round, please.
They've gone,
Civ 2.
What a catch. Yeah.
It's the best Civ. Well, you know, I find it. It's interesting the way things move on. I did a show where and it was only a tiny part of the show, but I went on 50 dates in 50 days.
Yeah.
For a show, so it was like, you know, just anyone who would come on a date with me, I went on a date with, which I suppose is a bit more like modern dating, right? The people are a bit more. I mean, it's not 50 in the 50 days, but it's a bit more like.
But it is. It's like a job, I think.
Yeah.
And it's not a job I want to do.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I do. I do, but, you know, I just want to get the job.
But you don't want to, you know...
don't want to do all the interviews.
Yeah, yeah. Or your brother to be...
I don't want to do my brother.
To be the job.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's amazing. That's just so amazing that happened. I love it. On a similar theme, I'm sorry. as a female comedian...
Yeah.
You know, I think it's... I think people... And even I still underestimate how much crap you get just because you're female.
Yeah.
And again, I think by being so online, I've heard you talking about guys telling you you're terrible and then sending you...
Yeah, aggressive dick pics.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got two repeat offenders.
Okay.
And one of them...
Can you just tell from the dicks or is it that... Are they coming under different names?
Well, they both have signature styles.
Yeah.
So there's Kyle... Sorry for spilling your name there, Kyle. And he sort of sends one saying, "Oh, you're not funny." And then he sends a sort of picture of him with his little penis out. And then, I tweeted about it once and then I blocked him and tweeted about it. And then he came back with a different account, which was called Big Kyle. And he said, stop telling people I'm not funny, bitch. Here's another picture. And he sent me this picture. And then underneath he went, not that one. Don't look at that one. So I've got Kyle. And then there's this other guy who he's targeted a few women on the internet. And one time he sort of had his penis out. And then in the background, someone noticed that he'd left his ID card with his full name.
Oh, God.
And date of birth. So they sort of sent underneath. They said, "Oh, do an apology, or we're gonna contact your mother." And then they put his full name, and he did. He put a sort of rambly apology. But what's funny about him is he will send you his penis, and then you go, "I know who you are." And then you send his full name with his date of birth, and then he goes, "Shut up, bitch!" And he deletes his picture.
It's at the moment sort of in the news this as whether this should be illegal or not.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot believe. It's not illegal already.
Yeah, because it's not very nice. They're never nice dick pics. They're never like, "Oh, look at my penis." They're like, "Look at my penis."
So if they just ask in a more gentlemanly way,
they're just like, here it is.
Look at my penis, please.
You may not like it, but it's up to you. Yeah.
When I grew up, like, that's what... People in bushes did that.
And yeah.
They were, you know, they were seen as being undesirable members of society who you should avoid and should go to prison.
Yeah.
So it sort of seems just bizarre that people would do that just as a, you know, as an aggressive thing or as a flirting. You know, it seems a bit too soon to flirt.
Wooing
thing. It's like, "Here's my penis." I mean, you know, wait for that, because even the good ones don't look that good.
No, no, they don't photograph well, I don't think, I'm afraid.
So it's all a different world to me. Maybe I should start sending some out. Do you want one? No? Yo. Even Andy McH won't have a dick pic from me. But I'm polite enough to ask. Fucking sending you one anyway, and you're going to enjoy it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We can book you on Cameo. I'm fascinated by Cameo.
Yeah.
And I'm mainly fascinated by the price points that people choose.
Yeah.
You're really cheap.
I know. Is that, well, I do it in Carrington also because I'm like, it's, it would be really embarrassing. Can you imagine doing it as me?
No, you're good. You're a good person. And you do really, you just, work, they're good messages. I've seen them. They're good.
Thanks.
Yeah. You should charge more.
You're
have
charge
more pride
more.
In yourself. How did you decide to set your...
Well, I did set it really low.
Yeah.
But then I kept getting lots of them and that was a bit exhausting. And then I thought, oh, I'd move it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was lower than this.
It was really low. It was like a fiver.
Right.
And yeah, now I've moved up and now people don't want one as much. But you know, that's cool because I respect myself.
Yeah. Farage doesn't he?
So, yeah, you know, he does. He does them sort of popping out from behind a tree. He's quite inventive.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Yeah.
What, do you just not pop out from
I don't pop out in front of any trees yet.
What if someone asked you to pop out from behind a tree? Would you do it? I'm absolutely going to ask you to do that. It's only 30 quid. I'm going to get Farage. I'm going to get Farage to do one and you to do one, and I'm going to
then compare.
Put them together.
Those are us, yeah.
I'm going to put them out on the podcast.
Yeah, why not? I'll find a tree.
But you charge more for so you, businesses
I charge more
can
for
do,
trees.
No, businesses can do it, right? I don't really understand that.
Oh no, they've asked me, and I don't even understand what they're asking me to do. So I tend to. It gets all a bit technical. They're like, can you do a funny video about, you know, technology and the something or something? And I'm thinking, no.
It's just a weird thing. I think it's a weird thing, Cameo.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, but it's like loads and loads of people are doing it. The bloke from The Inbetweeners makes like £500,000 a year.
It's funny because some of the celebrities you see are really lazy on it, where they're just like, hi, Kelly... happy birthday, bye. And they're charging like 150 quid.
Yeah.
Great.
Tiffany Haddish was on it for a bit. Like for,
was she?
But like from, you know, Tiffany Haddish?
Yeah.
$3,000 or something it was. My wife really likes Tiffany Haddish, but I'm not.
No, $3,000
I don't like my wife that much. And I bet it wouldn't be that good, but she was gone anyway. I did think about it, but it was. But it's sort of, you think, why would Tiffany Haddish... You're doing films, don't you need $3,000?
There's a lot of bored celebrities in lockdown thinking I might as well
I suppose
say hello to people
in
a garden with a tree.
Yeah. Do you know, it's an interesting And I, you know, I like, I've made Michael Ian Black do about five for me when he was a guest. So, you know, just I thought, and I've said, I think I've said this before, that you could, there's, you know, there's some pretty big celebrities on there.
Yeah.
I think you could write a film and get them all to do a little bit, and then put it out. They're all on a TV screen or whatever. They're all talking to you on a. An entrance phone or something.
That'd be brilliant.
Yeah. I can't be bothered to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Also, do you think they could sue you?
I don't know what they'd do. You know, it'd be interesting to
who
see.
Who knows?
What...
You never know these days, do you?
I got Ice-T to do one for my stone clearing podcast. I doubt he's heard it. It didn't make any, you know, I didn't monetize it. But it's pretty cool to have Ice-T. Yeah. Then you put it on a podcast. I don't know if you're allowed to put it on a podcast. I put all the ones I've done
on a
podcast.
You can put anything out on a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can. No one's going to. Yeah. But that's, you know, that's cheaper than getting Ice-T over from America to be on the podcast, isn't it? He's like a big star. Why is he doing it? Why is Ice-T? I can understand why you're doing it, Rosie. Ice-T. Let me ask you some emergency questions.
Okay.
Oh, and yeah, I know what I need to talk to you about as well. I will ask you... this is the last I'm going to ask this question. Some of them only have a limited lifespan. Do you think ghosts have bum holes? That's all I need to.
Yes. Wouldn't they have bum holes?
Because they don't have anything else.
Because they had bum holes in life. They'd probably have little ghosty bum holes.
Had kidneys in life. They haven't got kidneys as a ghost.
They've still got ghost kidneys.
They haven't. You can see through them. There's nothing in there. That's the whole point of view. If they had kidneys, you wouldn't be able to see through them.
Oh no! Now I'm doubting my answer. No, I'm sticking with it. I think they had bum holes. They have bum holes.
I think most people think they have bum holes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a ghost, Rosie?
No.
Okay.
Not yet.
Yeah, I see. You seem like a sensible, non-insane person. So I thought that
don't
might
want to
be,
rule them out, though.
That might be your answer. I don't think they exist, so I don't think they have bum holes. That's what I'd go for. It'd be weird if they don't exist, but they do have bum holes. That's what I'd be most worried about. And then that would explain why I see all those bum holes floating around in my house. If that was the only bit of you that suffered, why not? Why not? Why wouldn't it just be your bum hole?
If that's true.
We die and all that's left is a little ghostly bum hole.
If that was where the trauma was as well. Because that's what ghosts is all about, trauma, isn't it? Unresolved trauma. If all your unresolved trauma is around that area.
I mean, it is for a lot of people.
Then why not? Why not there be levitating bum holes everywhere?
You wouldn't even really notice. There could be like 100 bum holes around us right now. There could be someone's bum hole right in your face.
Oh, God. Oh, well, good for it. Yeah.
You know that chrysalis question that you heard from last week's show? If you were put into a chrysalis, like a caterpillar, you could come out and be anything you want. You could be yourself, or you could be someone else, or you could be anything. But you've changed into something else. What would you be when you came out of that chrysalis?
I don't know.
I know it's a hard question, and
it's a hard question.
It's a very revealing question, and you're going to have to come up with an answer, and the answer will reveal a lot about you.
Because you want to sort of say it like a giant, beautiful butterfly, don't you? But then people would shoot you and put you in a prison, and it would be really bleak. And then you think, well, I made the wrong choice.
You know, a lot of butterflies don't even have mouths, right? They don't, you know. I know a lot about butterflies because I've been reading this book about fucking butterflies and aphids and whatever else to my daughter for weeks. It's really long.
Do they nose hairs?
They, I don't know about that. They, a lot of them, they don't even bother. Can you imagine being God and going, I'm going to have this beautiful thing, a butterfly, then I'm not going to give it a mouth so it can't eat anything and it will die in 2 weeks of starvation?
Is that what happens?
Yeah. They don't bother. They just lay some eggs and then they're fucked off and they're dead. All that, you go through all that. That's what you've just done. You've come out as a butterfly. Oh, I'll be a butterfly. Wrong choice.
Oh, no. Yeah.
We're in the butterfly. We went to see the butterflies in the zoo. If you've been to London Zoo, there's a nice butterfly.
Is there a good butterfly enclosure?
Yeah, there's
enclosure.
Nice. You go
just through and there's... more dying. Starvation.
I guess they're done, but you can see all the...
Yeah, you're like, they look happy, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're flying around. It's a good environment for them. When you go in, you can pretend that, you know, my son's obsessed with ghosts and Marley. Yeah. I was telling you backstage. You go through this thing of chains, and my son was going through the chains going, it's Marley. Marley, because it's like the chains you forge in life. That's why he's obsessed with ghosts, taking his clothes off. Don't know where he gets it from. Do you think your obituary photo has been taken yet? Or... That's a good question to ask someone as young and at the start of their career as you.
I hope not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope when it is, it's me looking old and decrepit and alive.
Well, it'd just be you next to that guy from Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that be sad?
And you've lived to 99 years old.
Yeah.
And they go, you remember the girl who did that?
And he'd hate tweeting, be there.
He's definitely going to die before you. Don't worry. He's definitely going to go. You are from Somerset, but I don't know where in Somerset. And there have been quite a lot of guests recently from Somerset. I grew up in Somerset.
I went
to Cheddar.
Nice. Whereabouts
in Somerset did you grow up?
I grew up in near Frome.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, a little village called Maiden Bradley.
Okay.
And then we moved to Bath when I was about 16.
A lot of people moved to Bath. Who was the other person? There's a couple of people who've moved to Bath.
Yeah, they're Bath.
It's a big comedy scene coming out of Bath.
It's a lot of comedy in Bath, on the streets of Bath.
It is.
Had to battle tough times.
Yeah.
And
because the magic waters. You go in the. Have you bathed in the waters of the Bath?
I don't think you can bathe in the waters
you
anymore.
Can fucking jump
oh no,
in.
You can. You're right. You can do the spend, but it's quite expensive. So
okay.
No. Just the muddy canal. You don't have to pay anything.
Do you still go back to Somerset?
Yeah, I go back to visit my parents. Yeah.
In Bath.
In Bath.
I mean, it's not technically Somerset, but I'm gonna.
It still is Somerset. It's like it's just New Somerset, isn't it?
Okay.
They used to be like Avon,
yeah,
Bath and Avon,
yeah.
And they went, fuck that.
Oh, has it come back
I think
in?
No. Do you know what I think it was? And I could be completely wrong. I think it was a plot by the Tories because they had Frome were voting Liberal Democrats, and they went, well, we'll widen Somerset, and then all the Tories will envelop the Liberal Democrats,
yeah,
and the Tories will win. I might have just made that up.
I think it might have happened.
Do.
I mean, you know, it doesn't really matter if a few Liberal Democrats get enveloped, does it? It's not going to make any difference to anything.
Maybe one day they'll emerge triumphant.
Yeah. I can't see it.
No.
They should just said, do you want to come? You can be in our government if you want. Okay. that would have been the easier thing to do, wouldn't it? Come and be in our government. We won't do any things you want. But, you know, you can help us ruin the fucking country and then go and work for Facebook. I'm looking at the wrong questions. So what do you think's going to come? You can't tell me what you're going to do with the character with anything else, but are you going to push on with the...
What, in life?
Well, with the... What do you want to happen?
Want to be what for my is this a trick question or should it be about the world?
Well, it can be a
world peace.
It can be the world peace, a box of chocolates.
Yeah. Well,
what would your ideal thing be to happen? Would you like to? Do you like the freedom of doing your own stuff, or do you see that as a springboard to becoming a?
I like doing my own stuff, but what I would like is for people to do it and then just put me in their things.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
But that's going to happen, though, right? Because
I hope so.
It's making a big impact.
Yeah. I hope so. That would be nice. And then I can just sort of go, oh, yeah, I'm going to write something of my own after I've done this massive film where I don't do anything apart from, you know, walk on and say things. I realise I just sort of, that sounds like I'm being snooty about actors, but that's the dream.
But do you think that... So, moving from acting into comedy was, I mean, I'm still doing acting.
Yeah.
But is acting the thing you really see yourself as, or because
I don't know really.
No.
I love writing my own stuff, and I like doing that, and I like having the. I think, you know, sometimes when you're an actor, a lot of actors I know are very creative people, but it can be quite frustrating because even if you're working all the time, you're really part of someone else's creative vision. It's not you. You're sort of brought in really as a kind of cog in the wheel. So I really like the freedom that, that writing my own stuff brings me. I mean, it can be a bit more scary, and also, you know, I might get cancelled, which is hard
to get cancelled.
Yeah.
No, I mean, no one really gets cancelled.
Yeah, it's just consequences, isn't it? It's consequence culture.
No one gets cancelled. I don't think comedians really get it. You know, it's weird. It is weird that comedians get more stick than for telling a joke than people do for doing things that are bad.
Yes.
That's sort of weird to me. But look, but the comedians who get cancelled have usually done something that's bad.
That's true.
Right, which is okay.
Yeah.
That's right. But no, I was really struggling to think. I think we've talked about this, but I think maybe Roseanne Barr is the only person I can think of who's been cancelled for something she's said.
Yeah.
But it was quite bad.
It was pretty bad.
Whether, you know, I don't like the idea of anyone being like not able to come back from stuff. I think if you get to the point where you go, if you cross this line, that's it.
No, you're right. And anything, even with Jimmy Carr, but then I guess he just hid for a while, didn't he? And I think he's fine now.
Well, he's done it a few times. He's hidden a few times. But if you shut up for a bit, then
yeah,
then they'll move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
It absolutely, yeah. And you know, so Jimmy won't get cancelled for that. If he, but that what he's done is still probably not. I mean, it's not great, but it's still not as bad as fiddling his taxes.
Yeah, or fiddling
which is a thing, which he's yeah. You know, which he's come back from. So
yeah, yeah. No, you're right. I think I do understand the kind of fear of, because I did a sketch once that got made people really angry. I mean, okay. They got it was a joke, but they were really angry, and. It's quite a scary feeling because that was the only time I thought, I'm going to get cancelled.
Well, we'll get that sketch out. And if I do one thing from this podcast, I don't think you will. You know, I think, and I think comedians have got longer careers.
Yes.
And who've done things that are on record. I don't know who I'm talking about here. You know, then you could think, oh, someone could dig that up. And I think the problem is when things are taken out of context more than anything. Being a comedian's better than being an actor, though, right?
I think so. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to do both. I just find, you know, I think actors need to be like, I think, I don't want to piss off all the actors I work with, but like, if you're just going to act, it's so hard because of all the waiting around. Even if you're working all the waiting around, but if you're not working all the waiting around, it's very difficult. You sort of need something else going on, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what's nice about comedy. You can always write something.
Yeah,
and with the internet, you can always throw an idea on there.
Yeah,
and see what happens.
And do you think you'll get? I mean, it's still fairly early days, right? For the stuff you're doing.
Yeah.
With Michael Spicer, who had a sort of similar, I mean, a long tail, I think. He did a lot of work for a long time and then hit on this idea that became very successful. But then it felt like he almost felt this is a bit too successful, and every time anything happened in the news, people were obviously emailing him going, do this, look what Boris Johnson's done. Do you think you're going to get to that, or do you feel that... Will you get to the point where you think, oh, you know, it's like there's too much stuff going on. There's too much that I could do, and people are expecting it now.
I think there's always a bit of that.
Yeah.
But the political landscape at the moment is so interesting. It's so crazy. I think it's quite a lot of it. Exciting is the wrong word because it's also very bleak. But there is something you kind of go. There's always material. There's always something providing you where you can think I can do something. But yeah, if you're feeling a bit off that week and then people are messaging going, are you going to do a video on this? And you're going, no, I'm going to sit in a duvet and watch TV.
I mean, you can choose when to do it. That's the nice thing about it. I think what I love about it is the subtlety of it and the fact that it can be taken as real. But I think we were saying this backstage. But you know, Nadine Dorries. Is so like a
she's
so
too extreme. Yeah, she's a comedy character.
Yeah,
I feel you can't really parody her because she does everything to the max. And if you did, you couldn't go more than that.
No,
you know she's mad.
Yeah,
she is mad, isn't she? Yeah,
mad with love for Boris.
Mad with she giving her undying loyalty.
it's sort of all fascinating stuff. I mean, it is. You know, and as we were discussing last week, let's get bleak again. But it's, you know, it is sort of this. It feels like the way out. You know, there's no way out. It's good, sort of good for comedians to a point.
Yeah, it's horrible, isn't it? You go. I want the world to get better, but not too much better. Otherwise, what will I do? But it is. It's a bit. I mean, the funny thing is, I don't think. You know, I was never particularly. Sort of political, really, until the last couple of years, just because it's got, especially, well, I mean, you know, Brexit was a sort of big turning point because that was when I think things got so divisive and angry. And then when Boris Johnson came to power, you're just looking at this government who were all fools. They're fools. And none of them are competent, and they're all liars.
Yeah.
So it's hard. I feel it was hard not to be political with the current climate, because it's worrying, you know.
Yeah.
And also funny. Yeah.
But yeah, it is, and it, you know. But I think that is the crux of it, that for Boris Johnson to get all the stuff he needed to get done, he had to get rid of anyone who
was vaguely competent.
And you know, they sort of forget. They sort of sacked off a lot of the senior politicians. And so you're left in this position where, you know, when, I think Amanda said this at some point, but when Boris Johnson's ill, there's nobody, when he had COVID, there was nobody.
They wheeled out Matt Hancock, who I had a bit of a soft spot for, actually, Matt Hancock, because he's so sort of inept, isn't he? So very socially inept. He's like a sort of little weasel.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, you know, you can't hate him too much.
And he's tried to come back with his black polo neck on.
Yeah, it was a black polo neck on the podcast where he said, I just fell in love, really. Just fell in love with somebody and things happened.
You know.
Good for him.
Well,
of love.
We all love him, don't we? He fell in love. What a lovely guy he is. That's fantastic.
I'm sure it's, yeah, that was weird.
Right, I'll give you a couple more emergency questions and then... Who knows what will happen?
Oh.
Who knows what will happen next? Okay. Who is your favourite mathematician?
My favourite mathematician... Einstein.
Einstein's good. Did a bit of math, probably. equals MC squared.
It's all the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went for Rachel Riley in my book, but there you go. You know, you're classy. Classier than me. I've been reading a lot about Pythagoras. I've been writing a book about testicles.
Cool.
Pythagoras had he did the triangle thing.
Yes.
He had a lot of theories about testicles. He thought, because, I think it was him, it was either him or Socrates, I'm pretty sure it was Pythagoras, thought that because mung beans, if you leave them out in the sun, smell quite like sperm, that they're sort of the same thing. So So he thought mung beans and sperm and testicles were the same thing.
So people could get pregnant from mung beans.
But, you know, people don't remember that so much as the hypotenuse thing, isn't it? The square of the hypotenuse. You've got to chuck stuff out there. It's the same for mathematicians as it is for comedians.
Some of it's mung beans.
I thought that, you know, I think the sperm thing should work. Have you ever sucked on a fisherman's friend, lowercase?
Lowercase. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Probably, haven't we? Probably all
have.
Yeah,
we'll have.
You know, fishermen have a lot of friends. How do you feel about liquid soap? Is it just an elaborate con? I don't, you know, you're young. You're young. And, you know, I don't know if you remember the days of soap, proper soap.
I like
soap.
A liquid soap.
You like it?
Yeah. Feels less...
You've been conned.
Dry.
It is less
dirty.
Dry, it's liquidy.
Because with soap, with soap, you wash your hands and then you like, it's got other hands on it, hasn't it?
Yeah, but it's soap, so it's okay. It's soap.
It's true, I never thought of it like that.
It's self-cleaning.
Yeah.
There was a time when liquid soap, they tried to market one that you put your hand underneath and it would automatically, they have those. But then that's sort of saying our soap doesn't work, isn't it? Saying, don't touch the top of our soap to get some soap. You're about to wash your hands. If the soap works, doesn't matter what's on the top, does it? There's going to be a big lump of shit on the top of there. I just think it's a bar of soap, right? I just think I've gone back to soap.
Yeah.
A bar of soap never ends. You buy one bar of soap.
No, you find that quite disturbing?
No, I don't. It never ends.
In our flat, we have this one bar of soap in our kitchen.
Yeah.
It never dies. And my flatmate won't go near it. But, you know, it's still
That's
there.
That's because it's best. And liquid soap, they're conning you. You don't make liquid soap by getting a bar of soap and putting some liquid on it. Furious. I'm furious about the modern world. What musical instrument that you don't know how to play do you think you could pick up right now and have a pretty good crack at?
The bongo drums.
Yeah, that's a good. Why not? Do you not know how to play bongo drums? I think you know how to play bongo drums.
I haven't played them yet, but you're right. Yeah, it's one of those innate skills, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think if you've seen bongos and someone playing the bongos, you know how to play the bongos. Is what I'm saying. Like a trombone.
I think I could play a trombone.
I don't.
I think you just do that horrible spitty, breathy thing that you see when people try. Yeah. But trumpet, why not? Give it a go.
Trombone's one of the hardest. I think French horn's the hardest of the brass instruments to master.
Is that because you have to have a lot of blow?
I don't know if it is. I think it's just technically quite difficult. I used to play the trumpet.
But this was a trick question.
I couldn't choose trumpet, but I would choose a trombone, which I don't think I could play. I think it is quite hard. You've got to judge whether... When it's a trumpet, you just press the things and the notes come out.
Yeah.
You go slightly, you have to go... That's low, and then... That's higher. So, let's see if I can remember.
I think I could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just that. That's all you have to do. Can't have everything, can you? I'm going to ask you this. It came up last week. What's your favourite drink? I'm going to ask it properly this time.
A Negroni.
Negroni?
Yeah.
Is that like...
I don't know what's in it.
What is a Negroni? It's a cocktail.
It's an orange cocktail. I just realised where this ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you found out it was actually made out of wasp urine and always had been, would it still be your favourite and would you carry on drinking it?
Yes.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? And then you could regale it to people when you're drinking, can you?
You've already drunk a lot of it. That's the way I look at it. So why stop? If you like it, carry on.
Yeah. Yeah, completely.
I'm not going to shame people who like drinking wasp urine. Okay. So what was the crown jewel? Who did you play in the crown jewel? Because that sounds like quite a good
question. I played the Queen.
Oh, yeah?
And I played Princess Margaret. And I played a corgi.
I'd have thought you'd play... You look like Kate. Kate would be there.
We didn't get that far. Right. This was after the first two series, the Claire Foy and Matt Smith.
Right.
So we didn't get as far as that.
Okay. So was it a straight on parody of the Netflix thing, or would it work for a parody of the royal family?
I mean, it was very much kind of taken from Netflix, but it was very fun. It was so silly.
Was it two hander thing?
Yeah. So we just played everyone.
Yeah.
And wore lots of wigs.
Will it come back? Will you get to go to America?
Well, yes, but it kept sort of. When with the pandemic, it kept sort of saying, oh, that it just kept getting pushed back and back and back. And now there's been loads more series of The Crown.
Yeah.
So it would have to be sort of rewritten. I don't know. I don't know if I love doing it. I'd really like to be Princess Diana.
Would you really like to be Princess Diana?
No.
No, okay.
No.
But you'd like to play.
I'd like to play Princess Diana.
Yeah.
And more corgis. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you do like a lot of these quite posh characters, aren't they? They are. It's kind of quite upper
which
class
is
characters.
Obviously not like me
you at all.
Yeah.
Well, that's why it's. I mean, I guess that's why there's a sort of believability to it, right? There's a feeling.
Yeah.
That's why people believe it.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
Also, it's. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I sort of wonder, you know, is it fair on posh people that they... And I wonder if it's... I've been watching so many things on, like, Netflix and whatever of really posh people, like The Crown, actually, and Succession, where people are really rich and maybe a bit stupid, but they're all having a horrible time.
Yeah.
Right? I was in Primrose Hill this weekend, where everyone's very, very rich but pretends that they're bohemian.
Yeah.
They all look really happy. I mean, they look really, and I'd be very happy to live there. It's amazing. Do you think that's a defence mechanism to make out that posh people are unhappy? And do you think that this sort of stereotype of posh people being stupid, A, is it fair on posh people, but B, is it a way of... You know, is it a way of letting them get away with it? I don't know. What do you think?
I definitely think it's a way of letting them get away with it. I think there are a lot of stupid posh people.
There are a lot.
And there's a lot of stupid... I mean, there's a lot of stupid everyone, obviously, but there's a lot of... I think, especially if you're looking at the political landscape, there's a lot of stupid, posh people in government. And what's crazy is that with sort of, you know, Eton and Oxford produces these people who get very high up in life and aren't very bright. And I think that should be mocked.
No, I do. Well, I do think so, but it's sort of interesting to think. Like, I think sort of stereotyping anyone is a sort of dangerous way to go, right?
Well, also, I have to say, it's easier to, for me to stereotype that. So a few times when I've done a sketch, I did a sketch of a northern woman, and I have people being like, oh, being classist, are we? And making fun of the northerners. Right, yeah. And you kind of go, oh, God, I just wanted to do a different voice.
But, you know, you've got to use what you've got. And, you know, it's good, but I don't know whether... I was just wondering it from comedically, and it's sort of stupid to think about it this way round.
Yeah.
Because, you know, comedy should punch up and you should mock, you know, the people who are in government and people who are doing well. But it's sort of, I'm suspicious of lumping any group of people together as, you know,
definitely,
as a certain
but
type
I,
of person.
I don't know if that's
They can't all be stupid.
Of course they can't all be stupid, but there's enough of them there. You definitely shouldn't, you should say, hey, we're stupid across the... class barrier.
But this isn't a criticism of you at all, because I think also in the characters you're playing and in the government, it is like 100% true. I mean, it's very hard to find a Tory who you think, I think they're all right, which I think you would have been, you know, 20 years
well,
ago, you'd have gone,
to,
people
yeah.
would have gone, oh, John Majors was okay. He was all right in a way. I mean, there's the guy from the, is Tug and Hat, is it? That guy who's like was in the army. And he sort of speaks quite passionately about...
Oh, yeah, Rory Stewart? Oh,
no, there's no, Rory Stewart. He's a different one. It's Tom Tugendhat.
Yeah.
He's done some good speeches. He's about the only one I could think I kind of...
Well, there are good Tories. I just don't think there are any of the ones currently in power.
Yeah.
You know. So these guys need to go down.
And do you get more criticism from the left or the right, or is it...
The left are more vicious, actually.
Right.
So I get equally, but the right, there's something quite predictable in what they throw at me. So they'll just be like, oh, you're a lefty loon, you're not funny, and here's my penis. where the left, when I've been trolled by the left, it tends to be quite a character assassination.
Right.
And they'll just write stuff like Rosie Holt writes for the Daily Mail and did a racist video about Diane Abbott. Just things which aren't true.
Right.
You go, I don't know how to combat that. And then my cousin wrote underneath one of them and said, I don't think that was Rosie Holt. And they said, oh, so you'd rather defend her than stand against racism.
I mean, if you know, there's a lot. The thing is, a lot of nuts on social media, and you notice them more.
Yeah.
And I said this the other week as well, but you know, when you block like 12 people, you suddenly stop getting those.
Yeah.
You know, it's whatever the issue is, you find it's about 12 people, and you block them, and basically that stops.
Yeah.
And it's sort of it feels like a. It feels like a bigger thing than it is. And I think as comedians and actors as well, it's criticism is obviously, you know, it's taken to heart a lot of the time, especially when it's coming to you in your phone, day by day, or in the form of a penis, which I've never... No one sent me a picture of a penis. And, you know, I've got my DMs closed, but you can find a way. Just put it in the public. I think you can do it on Instagram.
Yeah, you can do it on Instagram.
Yeah, if you want to send me in.
You can get them that way.
What am I doing? I'm just so lonely. I would just take a dick pic from a sad man. They all like me. That's the problem. They're not angry with me. That's my audience. Probably one of these guys has sent you a dick pic. if not all of them.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So, good. It's really fantastic to meet you, and I think what you're doing is brilliant, and I'm sure it's going to lead on to whatever the secret things you're doing. I'm sure it's going to lead on to faster things. So do you know where you are on at the Edinburgh Fringe? Have you got your venue?
I'm at the Pleasance Courtyard at 6 p.m.
Good.
Yeah.
Solid. That's solid time. And all the way through the Fringe?
Yes.
Good. Fantastic. Well, we'll be up there for we're doing Rahalastapa. Thank you. Thank you to the five people. I know it's late. Come on. We've done well. Yes, we're doing the... And Drunk Women Solving Crime as well, which you should also see. So have you done Drunk Women Solving Crime?
No, but I've listened to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just about to call someone then. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm sure I can get you on that.
I've got an in. Good times.
So come and see us all at the Edinburgh Fringe. And ladies and gentlemen, please give a massive round of applause to florist Rosie Holt.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Come and see us next week. You have been listening to Rahalastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Rosie Holt. Thank you to Scant Regard for doing the music. I'm indebted to Ben Walker, not that one. I am also indebted to Chris Evans, that one. And thank you to everybody at the Leicester Square Theatre and all the crew behind this fantastic endeavour. Thank you also to everybody at Acast and my mum and dad. I also need to thank this week's people who backed the Kickstarter campaign to film this show. They are John Pardo, Kurt Fritz, Stephen Whiting, Sally's Guy, Ben Coffer, Sarah Richardson, Michael Glass, check out the singer, Natalie McCool, Jar Nadillo, in capital letters, Richard Holloway, Ian Hyde, Rachel Pierce, Tom, Alison Fenton, Stephen Greenhalch, Lorcan McGrain, Andrew Anthony, Maya Solesgon, Michael Thompson, Dave the Aussie, Eric Rupel, pronounced Rupel, Paul, One Big Crisp Bar, Bowden Hockey Thompson, John and Mandy, Claudia McKelvey, Ollie, Kirsty Loy, Sarah Clark, Pete Christopher James, Jeanette Muff, hello Jeanette, Mark Sullivan, no name, Kester Ford, Daniel Skevington, and Tap to Tap. This is a Sky Potato, a Fuzz, and a GoFasterStripe.com production. If you want to see the videos of these shows, why not head to GFSBoxOffice.com, where you will still be able to buy them, even now, if you want. They are all there. If listening to it wasn't enough, head to richardherring.com/gigs to find out what live podcasts are coming up soon. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks for listening. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can, and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.